It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go, and hour number two. Live this afternoon, Fin Run Radio. Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by Matlock Tire. Marcus, what you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says evidence calls for at least a full year suspension for Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. Obviously, we have known that last week he was given a six-game suspension, which was handed down by the NFL disciplinary officer Sue Robinson. But the NFL has appealed it, wanting to give him a much more permanent.
Well, not permanent, but
well,
longer.
Maybe not permanent.
What is?
That could be permanent. I mean, in my opinion, if it keeps going the way that's going,
he should be banned from the sport.
If there is evidence, because he's saying,
well, yeah, that was going to be my question. He says the evidence suggests that
right.
There should be a year long ban. What exactly is the evidence?
I don't know if he. So he points out that the quarterback's actions were egregious and predatory behavior. I don't think he has.
I mean, is the first victim who's not settled, not signed the NDA, given an affidavit to the league?
Well, I'm just wondering, I'm no legal expert. I mean, is that evidence? I mean, that's
according to somebody's
accusation. I mean, I think evidence. I mean, like,
is that they've had their investigators look at it.
Any sort of video or like looking at the communications between the parties and stuff like that.
Another quote is, we've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence. And I believe that he is talking about exactly who you're talking about, the first woman.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, they have appointed Peter C. Harvey, a former New Jersey attorney general, to hear the appeal. So we will see what that ruling comes back as.
I mean, at that point, it'll be, what, 2.5 years? If he gets another year, 2.5 years since he's played?
He didn't play last year.
At all.
Full two seasons.
Yeah, so if he doesn't get a full year this year, yeah, it'll be two seasons. Number two, Roy McIlroy and Justin Thomas approved the decision to not let LIV Golf members into the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup playoffs. We were paying attention to the court proceedings yesterday, and a federal judge in California denied a temporary restraining order to three suspended PGA Tour members who signed with LIV Golf and then wanted to play with the FedEx Cup
Well,
playoffs.
Good.
So,
because here's the deal. I mean, it's a straight exhibition. I mean, that came out a couple of days ago. I mean, it's just straight exhibition golf.
Taylor Gooch, Matt Jones, and Hudson Swafford will not be playing in the FedEx State Championship.
How will the PGA continue without Taylor Gooch, Matt Jones, and Hudson Swafford? Isn't Matt Jones, isn't he the Kentucky Sports Radio guy? You guys play golf now?
McIlroy said, from my vantage point, common sense prevailed, and I thought it was the right decision. So,
yeah, those guys work draw against commission. Is basically what they are now.
Commission?
Like anything, like say you win the tournament. Okay, say you're on the Live Tour, and they paid you up front $25 million, and then you win the first tournament, and the first prize pays $2 million. You don't actually get an additional $2 million. You don't start earning money again until your earnings in the tournaments surpasses what they paid you up front.
Still, I'm sure the bigger names, you know, not going to that thing unless they're making more money doing that than they are in the PGA.
Well, sure. But, I mean, it sucks, man.
I hate the LIV Tour. I hope it dies a painful death, but I mean, it doesn't look like it's doing it. If anything, it's gaining more steam.
Unfortunately, number three, the MLB is investigating why Pirates Rodolfo Castro had a cell phone in his pocket during the game. did you see what
did he answer a call?
So no, he
didn't
was
Manny Ramirez do that once.
I don't know about that one for sure. I just know that. So,
like, he's out on the field, he's got his phone on him.
It was in his pocket. Yeah, he was running to, I believe it was third base, It was the top of the fourth inning.
Classic.
And as he was, yeah, as he was advancing to third base, he came to slide in, and his phone fell out of his pocket.
And oh, he's running the bases.
Yeah.
He's running to third, and his phone falls out.
Yep. And,
classic.
And it was even funnier was that one of the, I don't know if it was actually the ump or just one of the guys there pointed down to show him the phone was on the ground. So they're doing a little,
hey, buddy, you forgot something.
There's a photo for you there, Russ, as you can see it sliding out of his pocket.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now.
So, yeah, it's going to find out why on earth he had his phone out there in the first place.
I mean, probably happens all the time if.
Well, because we talked about it, I think, a while back. There was no jewelry that was supposed to be allowed.
He's trying to hand it to the third base coach, and the third base coach looks. He's like, dude, why do you have your damn phone on you? Like, he doesn't want to take it. And then finally, he's like, well, I guess we got to take – the umpire does. He's like, dude, you dropped your phone.
Yeah, not only
hysterical.
That. Not only that, but it, like we talked about a while ago, there was a pitcher, I can't remember his name, who was upset that he couldn't wear his wedding ring while out on the field. So if you can't wear your wedding ring, but you can
different.
Have a phone out there.
I mean, I understand. Like, I guess some people consider their wedding ring to be a representation of their spiritual – whatever, your phone is just your phone, right? I mean,
theoretically,
well, can't you wear those? You can wear like those silicone bands now. You just can't wear a metal ring.
Sure,
you get your finger cut off.
The could there be question of cheating if he has his phone out there? Like if I'm not
like
saying
Marcus,
that he is, but I'm just saying like.
I mean,
know.
I don't think he's gonna whip it out and try and surreptitiously take a picture of the catcher making signs or anything.
I'm just saying. I mean, if Major League Baseball is wanting to look into it, investigate why he had it.
If he has it set on vibrate in his back pocket and somebody is, no, seriously,
yeah,
doing the Astros
thinking.
Thing,
yeah.
Watching
oh.
the signs in the outfield and they can buzz him, fastball, no buzz,
okay.
off speed or change up.
Yeah, that's fair then. Maybe. It's going to be interesting to see what they learn about that.
I recently read Jim Boughton's classic Ball 4. Came out in 1969, still relevant today. But he talked about there. He played with a guy that did not trust the locker room, and so he always played. A major league ball player always played with his wallet on him, with his wallet in his back pocket. Just would not trust home or away. I'm not leaving my wallet unattended in my locker. No. And kept it on him while he played.
Huh. Kind of admire it.
A total bear move.
Yeah,
100%. And finally, at number four, as Kevin Durant rumors about his trade still swirl around, seems that the Nets stars views the Celtics as a desired landing spot. We've talked about how the...
But do the Celtics view him as a desired addition?
Well, the Boston Celtics obviously not long ago did offer the Nets a trade that included... Brown, Derek White, and a first-round pick. Of course, Brooklyn asked for Marcus Smart in addition to that, which they said no. But according to a couple sources for SNY, that Boston has seemed as a desired landing spot, probably because not too many people have the assets to get Durant.
No, yeah.
I mean, like
that'd be a good
–
would that – I kind of feel like it'd be a pretty decent spot for him.
He obviously knows the head coach, who was an assistant coach for Brooklyn under Steve Nash.
I mean, I wouldn't give up Marcus.
No.
You're not giving up Smart.
I wouldn't give up Smart. You'd have to give up Brown.
Smart is not a deal breaker for me. It's just do I want to give up Brown, and how much can I get out of Durant? I think you guys way overvalue Marcus Smart. He's a good defender.
Defensive player of the year.
He's not a
DPOY, Russ. DPOY.
And then
the point guard was a major shortcoming for them in the finals.
Last point to that as well was that the owner for the Brooklyn Nets recently came out on Twitter and pretty much supported the franchise over the star. Pretty much saying that he backs the organization and doing what's best for them. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Celtics should have drafted Kennedy Chandler, if we're being honest.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Thank you, Marcus. Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by Matlock Tire. They got 5 locations all over East Tennessee. Check them out on matlocktire.com to find the location nearest to you. Been going to Matlock Tire for many years now. I've always had good experiences there. Just bought a new set of tires for my car there back in June. And whatever your vehicle maintenance need is, Matlock Tire can handle it. Again, MatlockTire.com to schedule your service today. 865-546-8200, your number to get on board with us here this afternoon, 546-8200. Talking about the origins of your fandom, whoever you're a fan of, obviously most of us Tennessee fans, what brought you to it? What keeps you coming back for more? Have you ever thought of renouncing your fanship? 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon, let's talk to Phil next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Phil.
What do you say, Debbie?
What's up, Philly?
How you bearing, Marcus, doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Harrison Dobbin.
Phil, you've been a Tennessee fan for a long time. I suppose if you were going to leave, you would have done it by now.
Yeah, but a lot of pain inflicted on me, but I'm still hanging in there.
What brought you to it originally?
Yeah, what hooked you?
Well, when you're a kid, the first UT football game was, they used to sell tickets at the elementary schools to go to the ball games, and they sat in that old end zone back before they closed it. You know, the north end zone, they used to have bleachers there. And Knox County had always or Knox City.
What year is this, Phil?
This back, I guess, in the early late 60s.
I mean, think about it, man. The Beatles are a hit. Hendrix still walks this earth. Richard Nixon is in the Oval Office.
Years, didn't he?
Phil's walking to the game in the unfinished north end zone with some bell bottoms on, maybe a little extra hair down the back of the neck. Like a cool breeze strutting into Neyland Stadium.
You used to see the hill, and they used to shoot a cannon at the ball games.
I vaguely remember that from when I was a little kid. And the walking horse.
Yeah. Well, the walking horse, that went up into about the 90s, they stopped it.
I think so, yeah. The whole, it's not exactly pleasant for the horses.
No.
So,
especially when they had the artificial turf out there, and then I guess the horses could tear the turf up too. But my first legitimate game over there was Archie Manning against Tennessee. In 68, Tennessee waxed them, and then the next year, Ole Miss got revenge, 38-0, in the Jackson Massacre.
Young fans be surprised to know Tennessee played Ole Miss every year. Until the conference split up, I believe, in 1992. That every year the final three games were Ole Miss, Kentucky, and Vandy.
I think Ole Miss is the fourth most played SEC game for Tennessee in the all time series.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, we were talking earlier in the year about that whole pod thing. Like that was the whole. Like, I'd like to play Ole Miss every year, especially now. That rivalry is hot between us and Kiffin.
Yeah, it is. But my first basketball game was I remember when Pete Maravich came into Stokely. I went to that game.
Oh, wow.
Tennessee held him to 20 points, and, he was a phenomenal player.
Now, did they hold him to 20 points legitimately, or were we playing a little four corners offense, a little keep away there?
Well, they put Eddie Velker on him, who was an elite defender. I mean, Mears could coach defense.
How about that?
But I think one reason why I'm a Tennessee fan is because of John Ward. Back then, you either go to the games or you listen to him on the radio. I mean, you'd be lucky if you were on TV three or four times a year.
Usually the bowl, that's why I always wanted us to make a bowl game, because it was guaranteed to get to watch it. Yeah.
But John Ward, you'd watch, you could hear him talk, and football and basketball, he was phenomenal. And he could paint a picture, which many of these announcers now can't.
Nah, it's a lost art. He was the best at it, too. Those some guy I'd forgotten about some of those memories, Phil. Like not getting to go to the game, or if it was an away game, you know, hanging out with your buddies and somebody's garage with the radio on. Young whippersnappers don't understand.
He was the one constant Tennessee Athletics, or I guess from the mid-60s up until Tennessee won the football championship.
It's really gone downhill since his that's where it the demarcation point once he retired.
Yeah, it's a
John Ward's retirement is the
him and Dickey.
Well, that's like 6 years apart. What is it?
It started under John Ward. It was a bad omen.
First of all, there's no line of demarcation. Second of all, if there was, it would not be 98 because we made three SEC championship games after
that. In Atlanta.
Dougie, what was this you were talking about the other day about the basketball team not, what, tipping or something at some eating spot up in the Sevier County?
Hesitant to even give that a lot of credence because, again, it was just something that somebody sent me a screenshot of this Facebook. I didn't even see the post, but there was some lady complaining that her daughter was a server at some restaurant affiliated with Smoky Mountain where the basketball team had gone and that they had come in with a bunch of vouchers or something and had basically not left a tip, and it was a big group of players or something. And I don't know. I haven't heard anything else about that. So we will definitely file this under the rumor and hearsay category.
Well, I mean, it's a shame if that's what happened, but I guess they probably learned it from our former head football coach and athletic director.
Oh, hey. Phil.
Cheap shot on the way out the
Uncalled
door.
Uncalled for.
Mm. Now, I think all that, you know, if it did happen, which I have no idea, but if it did happen, I would file that one more under
miscommunication, misunderstanding.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are on a team outing, and they're, you know, every team outing that they're usually on involved, you know, everything's paid for.
Let's get Neyland Mafia in here next. Neyland Mafia, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
What's that, Bear?
What's going on, Neyland?
I hadn't called in like a really long time, but this topic was
spoke to you.
Good. Yeah.
Good.
I guess the question is not why I'm a Tennessee fan. It's how could I really have ever been anything else? In World War II, my grandfather was in the Army Air Corps, which was the precursor to the Air Force. And in the Pacific Theater, they had a campaign of island hopping. And sometimes on islands where force was needed to be used to take the island, and sometimes on abandoned islands, he ran equipment. As soon as the island was clear or a spot was clear, he would come in with bulldozers and various other kind of dirt equipment and put down landing strips for the airplanes. You know, as part of the island hopping campaign, pilot, you know, way out where he can't make it back to the aircraft carrier, or he can't make it back to the main base. Anyway, there were several little landing strips all across the Pacific. And my grandfather was responsible or helped build 13 of them. And so when he came back after his service was over, naturally he stayed with operating heavy equipment. By this time he was really good at it. And this would have been around 1951, somewhere right in there. He was working around Chattanooga. They were either getting ready for, or they had already passed the Interstate Defense Act, and they were starting to do a lot of work on interstates and expanding highways and all that kind of thing. Long story short, he's around Chattanooga driving a bulldozer and working on a few things. Now, my grandfather, he's an old country boy. Back in those days, he didn't study ball. He studied farming and heavy equipment. But some of the men started talking about, hey, the general's eating right down there. And, you know, to someone who was just out of the military, that meant something different. And then somebody said, hey, here comes the general's car. And so my grandfather's thinking, well, great, you know, I'm I need to be polite to whoever this is because it's obviously some general. Well, out walks General Nealon. And my grand, he doesn't know who he is. But General Nealon was, as a lot of us know, he was an engineer. He helped build things. That was part of what he did. So he sees my grandfather over there on a bulldozer. And he just walks over and starts talking to him. Introduced himself, this, that, and the other. And it took my grandfather about 15 minutes. The General Nealon, he hadn't been back from the military. He stayed in the military in active duty for a while, even after the conclusion of the war in 45. So he's hanging out and talking to him. And finally, my grandfather figures out who he is. And about that time, General Nealon walks over to his car and he gets out a brown paper sack and comes over and he sits on the treads of my grandfather's bulldozer and has a beer with him. And they talk for an hour or so just about the logistics of building the road and the highway and what all my grandfather did in the war. When my grandfather got back to West Tennessee, he was a Tennessee fan. And after that, now, when we lived in West Tennessee, you didn't, especially back in those days, to a large extent, true even now, you didn't just jump up and drive to Knoxville. It was a hump. In those days, it was about 8 hours. So they weren't season ticket holders. But what my grandfather would do was he would call ahead or find out or whatever anytime Tennessee had back-to-back home games. And they would schedule their vacation around that. They'd come up on a Friday, and then that Saturday they'd be in Nealon Stadium, and then for the rest of the week they'd go on into the mountains. On Saturday they'd go to the second game in Nealon Stadium, and then they'd drive home. And that just kept going on that way until finally my father gets out of Vietnam, marries my mother, and I was 1 month old in Nealon Stadium. There's a picture. I can still see it right now. He's holding me up. And the picture was taken kind of in profile. And, I mean, I'm
there's a picture of General Nealon holding you up?
No. My father holding me up.
Oh, I was going to say, that's much better. I got pictures like that too, Nealon Mafia. I mean, come on, man. What are we doing? Hey, man, that's pretty cool, man. Your grandfather had a direct connection with General Nealon. I'd imagine it's going to be hard for somebody to be a fan of anybody else after that. But good stuff. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. Let's take a quick time out. We'll be right back. More of your phone calls coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online, fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app, a variety of ways for you to experience the program this afternoon. Sam on Twitter says, Nealon Mafia is spilling his guts and Russ gives him the hook. They didn't give him the hook. Like he was gone for a while. He was on a roll. We had a break to get to. I'm sorry. Chris says, I was waiting for chapter 3. My man was telling his story.
It was a cool story.
You're going to get some stories here of Tennessee fans. What brought you to become a Tennessee fan? It's not the kind of thing that, if it's a story worth telling, it's not the kind of story that can be told in a mere sentence or two.
Another very underrated thing about, that hooked me were the original hot dogs used to be able to get Nealon Stadium before they went to the foil pouch things with the ketchup and the mustard in it. Like, they had actual chili and mustard on them.
Mm. Great.
I can't remember how much they were. Hey, this guy, Zandy, toss them to you. Just chuck them.
They still have do they still have the guys, what, the Coke guys? You know, they don't have that anymore. That's kind of a thing of the past, isn't it?
Really? The child, the forced.
Yeah, the guys walking
borderline through sweatshop with child labor.
The Cokes.
You wouldn't believe how little money a Coke vendor makes, especially if you're like.
I'm trying to remember. I mean, I only go
did
to.
Did you ever do it?
Would I ever do it?
Did you ever do it? So
no. I want to watch the game, man. I'm not there for commerce. Do something
else. Talk about when you were a kid, you didn't sell Cokes or hot dogs or.
No. I'm watching the game, brother.
I did programs for a year, sold Cokes for a couple of years.
Program, get your program.
Line up. That was a pretty good gig.
There's always that guy in your section that had like the newspaper with him,
yeah.
The lineups. There's the guy with the radio headset, the
antenna
headset with the antenna sticking up. I had one of those headsets.
I remember when I
listening to John Ward in Neyland Stadium.
Yeah.
That's a great experience.
Yeah, on a little bit of a delay.
Back to the phones we go. The Throwing Samoan is next. What's up, Throwing Samoan?
Oh, just calling in, you know, some old school stuff popping in my head.
Yes.
Today's topic. I like it.
Thank you.
I was a little adopted kid up in Morgan County, and had to have some major surgery. So my surgery had to be done at UT Hospital. And this is way before I started even watching football. And I think they injected some of that orange blood in me at the time. But my first game I ever watched was Conridge. And they were playing UCLA. That game where he got carted off.
Yeah, he went to the hospital and came back in the same game?
Yes. I think their quarterback was Shira or something like that.
Yeah.
And, he came back
saying, yeah,
and,
like I know what it was. Yeah, I wasn't even there. I've seen the highlights, though.
Me and Bear is about the same age, so. But yeah, that was one of the games, you know, they had the tearaway jerseys, crowd was just lit, but, you know, living up in Morgan County, I didn't get to watch a lot of games. I had to hear John Ward, and, that was such a blessing. I mean, you know, guys that, listen to radio or hear some of these announcers, I mean, John Ward was the best, you know, he was king. So, but that's probably when I became a Tennessee fan, and I've enjoyed being part of the Vol Nation, and you know ups and downs. I guess my highest point was when we won the '98 championship, and you know, I'm just gonna continue to wear my orange and let all my daughters keep going to UT and. I'll just be a content fan.
Outstanding. Good stuff, my friend. Thanks for jumping in here this afternoon.
All right.
865-546-8200. Your number to get on the program here this afternoon as we break it down. We got What You Talking About Champions League coming up in a little less than an hour. Our final championship round qualification. And we'll see who the third member of the trio is to make it into.
I'm hoping it's Will.
The championship. I have no preference.
I'm in a thriving chaos. I'm always rooting for what's going to make your life the most chaotic. It's little things, Marcus.
I mean, it's not going to make my life chaotic to do it on Monday instead of Thursday. Oh, chaos! This is chaos, Marcus. The thing I was going to do Thursday, I'm doing Monday now. I don't know if I'll be able to make it through the weekend with all that chaos. I mean, I'll just be glued to this couch, my mind spinning. The chaotic nature of doing a segment on the show Monday instead of Thursday. It's going to be chaos.
We've got a, I don't know, it's not, we don't need to go to the desk, but the Cleveland Browns have just made an announcement, Russ.
Oh, Lord.
Deshaun Watson will start Friday's preseason game against the Jaguars. Why would you do that? I mean, take no matter which what you think about this situation. You're the franchise.
I mean, they love good headlines there. They're just PR geniuses, the Haslams. They're like, hey, let's take the guy who's kind of rapey right now, subject of the biggest controversy in the National Football League. Let's make him the story. Let's put it out there front and center. I mean, why not? Yeah, sure, we know that we're not going to have him for the first, six games at least, probably longer. But let's take away valuable reps from the guys that we know are going to have to play the first couple of seasons and really give ourselves, our brand, a hit with the female portion of the football audience. Let's do it. That's good decision-making.
Like also kind of almost a borderline middle finger to Goodell, like thumbing your nose at him.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense from a business perspective, from a PR perspective, from a football perspective. It doesn't make any sense.
But it is the Browns and
it's the Browns.
Jimmy coaching shorts.
Well, it's because, like your brother in arms, Jimmy Haslam loves to live in chaos, Bear.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying.
No.
You love to live
in... No, you're fine. You're fine.
You thrive in chaos. He thrives in chaos.
Polly Walnuts over there. You don't have to explain your jokes to me, okay?
You hear what I said? I said he thrives in chaos. Yeah. Let's get D.R. Vall in here next. D.R. Vall, you're on the drive. Fan Run
Dungeon
Radio.
Dungeon Master's funny, huh?
Oh. Are y'all really shocked by them wanting to start Deshaun Watson? They're the same guys that wanted Shiano at this university.
It's a really good point. As Dewey Warren would say, it's a good point, DR.
Who are y'all more likely to watch? Deshaun Watson start Friday or Hotel Garantano start Friday?
You aren't going to start talking about Garantano now, are you?
Please, are they playing each other? Is it the Browns versus the Cardinals? That would be unbelievable.
What do you think about it? Are you going to be watching him, your boy?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I told you. Man, I will pay whatever. I'll get ESPN Plus or anything. I want to watch that game. Watch his start. Because you know he's going to go out and nail it, and he's going to be in the NFL 10 years from now.
What if he comes out and just tears it up?
I hope he does so we can keep using this song.
8 for 8 with 2 touchdowns.
Oh, just
170 yards
preseason.
In 1/4 of football. Just
hitting receivers in stride, making the second read. Scrambling out of pressure.
Taking care of the football.
Oh, God.
Sounds like the JG I know.
Doing the Robin Hood thing.
So when he comes out, what does he say his school is? Washington State or Tennessee?
Man.
Washington State.
I hope.
You guys are being rude.
Why is it so personal with you and that guy?
It's not personal. It's just. For me, he gave me some of my worst memories as a Tennessee fan. Like, probably Mount Rushmore involves him.
I'm sure there's some Mount Rushmore moments in his life that he'd, you know, never want to think about again. By the same token.
Well, I mean, like y'all were talking about yesterday, some of his hits, he probably don't remember some of them. You know, I re-listened to the Georgia State voluntary reaction. Do you remember him making that quote about his performance? Russ, your reaction to it was all time, but he said, not good, not bad.
I don't remember that. You guys who are – every night for the past week or so, somebody has hit me on Twitter saying, I'm listening to a voluntary reaction from, like, 5 years ago. And it's always a terrible loss. Nobody says, hey, I'm listening to the voluntary reaction after the bowl win – over Indiana, or after the, I don't know, whatever the big wins Tennessee has had the past 5 years that we've been doing.
The Dobbs Nail Boot game.
Well, we didn't do one.
Oh, that's
but,
right.
Like, nobody says, hey, I'm listening to the voluntary reaction after a big win. It's always Georgia State, Alabama, Kentucky. It's always some awful loss that they're listening to. It says a lot about the psyche of the modern Tennessee fan.
Well, yeah, it does, but hell, y'all thrive in chaos, man. I'm a fan of the show because I turn on the app, some guy named Bear is inciting a riot and telling people to get down to campus right now. I mean, y'all this is what y'all are, you know, it's what y'all have strive for perfection in, I guess. It's y'all's specialty.
It's something, D'Arval.
I just hope we don't have any moments like that this season. Like, you look at the schedule, it's easily 9-3, or there's a path to 6-6, honestly.
Living your hopes, not your fears. Dare to dream, D'Arval. Dare to dream. JG ain't running through that tunnel. Cornbread ain't running through that tunnel.
I'm going to say, we're going to talk about JG again.
We got growing up Bobby Hill. We got Hendon Hooker. He gets up at 5 a.m. to practice basketball, D'Arval.
Russ, I'm going to say this and hop off here. If JG can play professional football, we can beat Alabama one day. You have a good day.
Roll down Tide.
One day. I mean, there was a day when we did that on the regular. 1995 through 2001. Was it 95 or through 2003? 95 through 2006, we lost to Alabama once. Once, ladies and gentlemen. Once in 11 years. That's the era I grew up in. There was a time when Alabama was the dysfunctional train wreck who couldn't hire a competent football coach to save their lives. And Tennessee was the model of consistency, just year in, year out, cranking out great teams. I know. Those highlights you see, they're sepia-toned. The shoulder pads are a little bit too big. The film's a little grainy when you go back and look at it.
I need to go look at the film.
But it happened. It happened. I was there, man. I was there. Saw it with mine own two eyes. Can be there again. Nick Saban ain't going to live forever. He's a 70-year-old man. Josh Heupel's young. The new Steve Spurrier. That's what they're calling him. That's what I'm calling him anyway.
Without all the trash talk. Going back to that Ole Miss.
A kinder, gentler Spurrier. A southern gentleman, if you will.
I just wish we played Ole Miss every year, because that, with Kiffin down there and Heupel here, what happened last year? I mean,
that's got
potential. I mean, getting to be a hot rivalry.
I don't want to see that. I go down there and watch them roll around on the field for 5 hours, like a bunch of fish out of water, just flopping around like that fish at the end of the Faith No More video, Epic. Remember that? Yeah?
Yeah.
Remember that?
You know that song, Marcus?
No, he doesn't.
I'm sure if I've listened to it, I'd recognize it.
I don't know. It's kind of obscure.
That's never been on Jam or Not a Jam.
It was a big hit that year.
It's a certified jam, though.
Oh.
I'm always turning it, as the kids say, all the way up.
You want it all, but you can't have it. Dun da dun da dun da dun da.
He said, what is? Gee, what's that? Jim Marshall, their guitar player. Big Fu Manchu and the long black hair.
I mean, when that song was ruling the charts, and by I say ruling the charts, maybe cracking them, maybe top 10 for a week or two.
You were dominating.
The summer of what, 94, 95?
Beard, I mean, middle school.
It was Heath Shuler and Peyton Manning were dominating the SEC. We're turning back the clock. You're just joining us. Why are you a Tennessee fan? What brought you to the orange and white, and what keeps you here after all these years mired in mediocrity, as Philly would say? We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. More of your phone calls on the way. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues on a Thursday afternoon. Mark the Vol is next. What's up, Mark?
Hey, this is Carter.
Who we got here, Bear?
Mark the Vol.
There you are. I'm on now. Okay.
What's up, Mark?
How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
All right. I'm great, man. So keeping on topic, piqued my interest. I've called in a few times, but I want to share my own experience. I'm 28 years old, so naturally I did get to grow up during some of the peaks of Tennessee football. I remember a little bit about 98 as a youngster, but not as much as I'd like to remember. But I got to go to my first UT game. I believe it was 2000 or 2001. The Iceman was under center. It might have actually been his first start as Tennessee's starting quarterback against Louisiana Monroe. Crap team, obviously, but we blew them out like 70-3.
70-3. I remember that one.
Yes, the 70-3 game. Ever since that day, I fell in love with the colors, just the seasons of, you know, being up in Knoxville during football season, seeing Rocky Top at the top of your lungs. I loved it. Loved it. I've been to a game every year ever since then, and that was like a bonding moment between me and my dad, and we continued that tradition pretty much every year ever since. And one more thing to add, they used to play, they were talking about some 90s bangers, they used to play Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve, if you guys remember that one. I think it was like on the Jumbotron near like halftime, and they had like a video package with it. Like, played it a lot during the former era,
oh, yeah,
like in the early 2000s. And every time I hear that song now, I'm instantly taken aback to my first game and what made me fall in love with Tennessee football. So that's a good memory for me and a good connotation to that song. So I just wanted to share that story with you guys, and go Vols and keep on rocking.
Good stuff, Mark. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, that song lends itself really well to video montages and
Bittersweet Symphony,
slow-mo, like guys running through the tee, and, you know, like close-up shot of a guy tying his sneakers before the game.
Yeah. I got mixed feelings about it. Because the guy got – Ashcroft got ripped off by the Stones. And then Jagger, Richards, and Alan Klein, they not only did they take the Grammy for it, they tried to squeeze every dollar they could out of it and licensed it for everything. Anybody that wanted to use it.
I mean, and in that sense, it's kind of fitting that it's played in a college football stadium. Let's get Carter in here next. Good afternoon, Carter. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Going well. Thanks.
Good. I just thought I'd chime in. I'm 26, so I got to grow up through the most fun era of Tennessee football. But my dad was a Vol, so I kind of got blessed with it. But I remember my first memory in Neyland is what sealed it. We were playing Kentucky. I want to say I was young, so it had to be 2001, 2002. And I remember vividly it was a tie ball game going into the fourth quarter, I believe. We got a big goal line stop against the Mildcats, and Neyland just erupted. That was my first memory, and I was like, yeah, I can get on board with this. So singing Rocky Top and cussing out coaches has been a part of my life ever since.
But you said your dad's a Vol. Was he actually a player?
No, he was a Vol fan.
He's just a fan? Okay.
Sorry, no,
I feel you. Yeah, right on.
He's just a fan. No, I grew up in Nashville, so there was no way I was going to be a Commodore. I wanted to speak to Bear's point about reigniting the Ole Miss rivalry. All my family lives in Oxford, and they're a bunch of toothless clowns. And we need to reignite that for no other reason. They need another team to beat them down. Because if you think Kentucky is bad now, Ole Miss has had that same mentality Kentucky fans have their entire fanship. It is insane. They think they're winning the West every year, and someone just needs to beat their teeth in every year from the East to remind them where they are. The Grove is an overrated field. Toothless clowns
who
can barely read. Go Vols.
They are kind of a Kentucky West program. At least they have a history and tradition, though. I mean,
and they've got a better football pedigree and history than Kentucky does. They don't have a sport that. I mean, hell, the baseball team. I guess they're defending baseball champions, but is this the school's first national championship? They haven't had many in many sports, but maybe they got one back in the old days.
Johnny Vaught never won a natty.
Did Archie?
No.
But it's, I don't know. I mean, that, I mean, I just chalked it up to, you know, I want to play them every year the same way I want to play Auburn every year. Because I grew up, we played Auburn every year. That was one of our biggest rivals. Florida kind of took over that spot from Auburn. Honestly, like the Tennessee-Auburn game used to be, except we were a little bit more successful against Auburn than we have been against Florida.
I feel like, mostly because of Spurrier, I feel like the Florida thing was more intense than the Auburn thing. Because Auburn is like, Pat Dye and Johnny Majors had this mutual admiration.
Yeah, we weren't fighting for national championships in the 80s. In the 90s of Spurrier, the winner of that game had the inside track. It went in the national championship.
And Spurrier was just an a-hole about it. Like, he would just, like, gig you.
Carried, I can't tell me he still wasn't bitter, but that, or maybe not bitter is the right word, but he always wanted to stick it to Tennessee because he was from Johnson City.
I think that's a small part of it. I think it's just who he was, because he did the same thing to Florida State, who he had no – I mean, like, he's just
– I mean, he's still doing it to people.
He talks trash, man. Like, he messed like, –
he's a hill jack from the try. Yeah, I mean, he runs his mouth. He's most got of the guys that, I know from up there act just like that.
He's got that Southern, that Scotch-Irish warlike mentality thing that we've all got down here. That
East Tennessee origins.
He wants to come at you a little bit.
That's why I get he should have been ours, man. Should have played here.
Could have been ours, Steve. Yeah. Could have been ours. Whose fault was that? Was it Bowden Wyatt? Or were we just...
Yeah, they were. I think they wasn't that the deal. They were still running the single wing, and he was one
of
the
formation,
whatever it was.
And we switched like a year or two later.
Yeah, it was too late, and he was going on to win the Heisman Trophy, become a coaching genius. What's your favorite Spurrier story?
I mean, you can't spell citrus without UT. I mean, looking back, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good line.
It's pretty good. The funniest, I think I heard it on the drive when you had – didn't you have Steven Garcia on? Was that the drive? And he told the story about
– coaching ball practice with no shirt and a beer.
Because he wanted to even up his tan from the golf course.
That was pretty good. My favorite Spurrier story is this. When – they were firing Muschamp, or no? When Urban Meyer left, I guess, or maybe when Zook left. Anyway, like Spurrier had done the NFL thing, and he was available, right?
Oh, I don't. Okay.
Or he might have even been at South Carolina, and there was a lot of speculation. Are we going to bring the ball coach back? Florida fans, let's bring back Spurrier. He's available. He's ready. He's still in his prime. Still got a few good years left. Let's do it. We're tired of sucking. Let's turn back the clock. And the story goes, this was never confirmed publicly, but it's a great story, and I'm going to stick by it, that Jeremy Foley was the athletics director at the time and said something to the effect to his search committee that Steve Spurrier is welcome to apply like any other candidate, just send us his resume, to which the HBC responded, resume? Go look in your trophy case. That's my resume. That's my favorite Spurrier story.
Yeah, he's one of a kind. It's a hell of a resume he had down there.
Go look in your trophy case. Wait, I'm freaking Steve Spurrier. Wait, you want me to fill out my your CVC? What do you call that? And upload it to the website? You want to send you a couple highlight tapes or something? Maybe we can meet at some clandestine airport hotel and have a 5-hour marathon interview. I'm Steve Spurrier. If you want to hire me, hire me. We're not going to go through a big rigmarole here.
No, we're not.
Rigmarole is a good word.
Rigmarole?
It just feels good coming off the tongue.
It is. I used that in a sentence recently. Rigmarole.
Me too. About a minute ago.
Yeah. That was a couple of days ago.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Hour number three coming up. Marcus has your top five at five. What you talk about, Champions League. Final round before the final round. Coming up. Lots to get to. Much business to conduct. Don't toot away. We'll be back with more of The Drive right after this on Fan Run Radio.